This morning I mentioned the fact that there's no question in my mind that this is God's Word because of its honesty. Remember that when we are writing accounts about other people, we only write the best things that we know about them, and we certainly don't write some of the things that could be held against them. Whereas when we study the biographies of certain individuals that have lived in the past, and Paul included, you're going to find that there are occasions when the failures of the individuals are mentioned as well. As I was just listening to you sing and then looking over some of the passages that I planned on teaching this evening, I was ever again impressed with the fact that this has to be inspired. And the reason why I suggest to you that it is inspired is because Paul's intent in the fourth chapter, especially as he gets into the section of praising the Philippian believers, there's always that danger that every one of us falls into, and that is, well, let's see exactly what happens. Look, for example, at verse 10. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul is going to begin what we might call a section of praise regarding the Philippians. Now, put yourself in this mode for a minute, if you would. Just keep in mind, however, that the purpose of that which Paul is beginning to write is for the praise of the Philippians. All right? Did I make that clear? He's going to praise the Philippians. He's going to say certain things about them, and rightfully so. You say, well, where lies the danger? Well, I'll show it to you. And this is why I believe this text and all the other of the Old and New Testament is inspired, because God puts the brakes on the Apostle Paul at a certain point in his discussion. Now watch. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Now that's a positive approach, is it not? He is referring to the Philippian believers, and he is praising them for the fact that they are now able to again support him. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. So he's referring to a time in the past when they were unable to give because of, as I suggested, the possibility this morning that there may have been an economic depression in that region for a while. They may just have been so financially taxed, they were unable to give. Whatever the circumstances were, they couldn't share in Paul's ministry. But now notice, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need. I suggest to you that this is Paul in a little bit of a mode of being defensive, suggesting that, well, I want to praise you for having supplied, but I want you to know that I really don't have a need. But he did, didn't he? Don't we do that often? Well, let me continue, and I'll show you where I'm going with this thing. For I have learned that whatever state I am, therein to be content. What has happened to his praise of the Philippians? Stopped. And what is he now bringing attention to? Himself. Isn't that normal? Yeah, don't we have a tendency to do that? You know, Philippians, I'm so thankful that you were able to help me out, but I just want you to know that I really didn't need it. As a matter of fact, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Huh? Now watch the next verse. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's lost his perspective at this point. As far as I'm concerned, within the context and framework of what he is initially beginning to do, he's starting to bring attention to himself. Now, if this was a typical biography of an individual writing about himself, he would now begin to describe all of the circumstances that he went through. In other words, let me tell you about the time. You see my point? Here's his recovery, however. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a big word coming up, and I'm not sure how it's translated in your New American Standard. The New King James says, nevertheless. You know what that word means? Now back to the point. See? Nevertheless. You have done well that you shared in my distress. Paul is not being apologetic here, but he's being very cautious and very careful. You know, it's almost like, and we do this too, don't we? It almost becomes an insult. And he didn't want to insult the Philippians. Somebody does something on your behalf and you say, well, I'm so thankful that you did that, but you know, if the Lord hadn't given you the strength to do it, you wouldn't have done it. Doesn't that kind of take away from... So you see where the Holy Spirit, under inspiration, said, Paul, that's enough. Are you going to praise them or are you going to talk about yourself? Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that what he's saying is wrong. What he's saying is great. These are phenomenal passages. We quote them often. But I suggest to you, within the context of the passage, he's begun to praise them for their ability to share in his ministry, and all of a sudden he's saying, well, I just want you to know, I didn't really have a need, but I really did have a need. And by the way, I've gone through a lot of things in my life. And it's almost like the Spirit is saying to him, Paul, you're praising the Philippians. Nevertheless. You see it? You have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Now he's back on track. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Still on the same idea. I don't want anyone to miss this. He got off just a little bit, almost to the point of saying, pay attention to me for a minute. And the Lord says, wrap it up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Phenomenal passage of Scripture. You know why I understand this? Because we all play the same game. You ever sat down with someone and you're sharing experiences? And so you almost begin with the can you top this type thing, you know? Paul does it. In his argument concerning his being a Jew. Oh, he says, Jew? What do you mean Jew? He says, I'm a Jew of the Jews. How can you be a Jew of the Jews? Come on. As touching the law, perfect. Educationally, a Pharisee. I've studied under Gamaliel. Come on. I've learned from the best. I've sat under the feet of the mightiest. I know so-and-so. That's why I know that the Spirit of God was in this. Because that would have been all out of there. Or there may have been a little stretching of the point. Yeah, I got my degree from the... I attended the University of Thessalonica as well as... And by the way, I want you to know, too, I'm a Roman citizen. This comes out incidentally throughout his life. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Paul was a human being, and he acted human. He made human errors. He wasn't perfect. And what was the key in his life? That what he did in the power of Christ, and not in his own power. And whenever his own power begins to emerge, and you see how easy it is for it to happen, even the experiences that we have in Christ, God the Holy Spirit shuts him down. I'm so glad that we're not living in the era of inspiration. There'd be few of us left. God would have shut us down a long time ago. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. He's back on track. I'm not suggesting he got off track. What I'm saying is there was the danger of his beginning to boast in himself. And that was not the intent or the purpose of his initial beginning in verse 10. We do it. And it may even be the truth, but it may be irrelevant. And by the way, you know, oft times it really doesn't impress anyone. No, big deal. No, really. Like the average testimony. There I was, 30,000 feet without a parachute. You know how the stories go. Cockpit just full of flames. 3 degrees negative power dive. Engine screaming away. And I accepted Christ. And miraculously, the flames went out. And by, a phenomenal thing, the airplane just pulled out by itself. And landed. You know, here are people sitting there going. You know what the problem with that kind of a testimony is? It's bringing attention to the individual, not to the God that saved the individual. The other danger is that here's a person there, and, well, when they accepted Christ, there were no flames. There were no sparks. There were no angelic choruses. No fanfares. And they doubt if they're saved because, you see, they didn't have quite that much of a testimony. I wouldn't allow that, by the way, if I even heard of somebody who had such an exciting testimony. I heard one years ago about a man who was convinced that God was in his life because he had a flat tire. And he had to get to a place and had to get there without a doubt. And so he says, and I took the tire off and the car didn't fall. And I drove it to my destination. You know, that's when you want to pull up your... huh? So there again, you got some... guy sitting in the corner, I've never had an experience like that. He never did either, by the way. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Get a crowd all excited. Some of you look like me, to me like you believe it. What? Let me tell you about an experience that I had. That's my whole point. Too often, I think, when we hear testimonies, they tend to praise the man more than they praise the God of the man. Next time you hear one, think about it. Paul had a tendency to want to get himself out in front. And the Lord had to pull him back. We're going to see that repeatedly throughout his life. David, king of Israel, same problem. Name one that didn't have that problem. Name someone here that doesn't have that problem. We all have it. And yet, let's be reminded that we can't do anything in and out of ourselves. And that's why we have that verse. I can do all things through Christ, who's my strength. To whom is Paul saying this? I think he's telling himself. I think he's reminding himself. Would you remind yourself? As I remind myself? You know, it's one thing to stand in front of a group and say these things. And yet it's another to do it.
Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Now let's see what I can go do on my own. Is that the game we play? Incidentally, if all things that we're doing is through the power of Christ, and somebody objects to what we're doing, should we be offended? But we are. Nevertheless, he praises them for their offering, their help. And he calls it by three things. I think it's marvelous. Listen to it. Sweet-smelling aroma. I don't know what Paul refers to as a sweet-smelling aroma, because, you know, something that's sweet to some may be disgusting to others. You know, I've had people stick flowers under my nose and say, doesn't that smell sweet? And I said, no, it smells like dirty feet. Same with ladies' perfume. Some of it is just wonderful. Some of it's horrible. I remember one time we went to a play, I could hardly breathe. We were in an elevator. Perfume was so overwhelming. I mean, it just ate up all the oxygen in that elevator. This gal was probably oblivious to the fact that she was killing half the population with her perfume. So sweet smelling. And then he says, an acceptable sacrifice. You know, there are a lot of things that we do in life, and many of them, we consider them sacrifices, right? Oh, I am sacrificing my time. Oh, I am giving my life to this. Oh, what a sacrifice. But the third is what gives it quality. Is it well-pleasing to God? And I think all of this is modified by well-pleasing to God, a sweet-smelling aroma, well-pleasing to God. An acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then he says, this is thunderous. And by the way, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, when you're giving, whether it be of your time, the most dangerous part of the year of Westside Bible is the year, the time of the year that we are now approaching. Because it can be the most marvelous time when your mental attitude is right, or it can be the most frustrating. I mean, look at all the sacrifices I had to give those kids. Ring, 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 you know, and they didn't appreciate it. Who said they had to? By the way, do you do what you do because of the appreciation of others? Or is it a sweet-smelling sacrifice? Well-pleasing to God. Some of you are going to be cutting out old things, you know. Just think about it. Sweet-smelling sacrifice. Well-pleasing to God. Or if you look at it with the intent, I wonder what little monster is going to get this in their hands. Or you have one that's slightly deformed, you know, you didn't quite cut it out right, and so you put some kid's name that you don't like on it, see? You'll probably lose it anyway. There's a danger in this time of the year. I've seen it repeatedly here with wrong motivations. Things that could have turned out beautifully turn out ugly because the intent was wrong. Going to VBS with an attitude, I'm doing this for the Lord. He's my strength. And He'll supply my need. Or, I'm doing it for self-gratification. So I can tell people how I labored and how I suffered and how I sacrificed and how I, suffering from myopia, nearsightedness. And funnel vision. You see, when your intent in life is to please God, let me tell you something. Other people around you will be pleased. But when your intent as life is to please self and not God, you're going to have difficulty pleasing anyone. Isn't that strange? Some people spend most of their life trying to please others and can please no one. And others spend their life pleasing God and please a lot of people. And you see, the thing about it is, your personality becomes so pleasant when you're pleasing God because you see, it doesn't matter how people react because you're not doing it for them. Oh, that doesn't make you miserable. It doesn't make you nasty. You can be pleasant. But you very rarely get annoyed with what people have done for you. That is, to you. Some of you are on the defensive all the time. Person looks at you wrong, you're ready to fight. You know, you go into a spiritual karate mode. Hey, yeah! Relax. I remember years ago I walked up to someone and I said, you look very attractive this morning. She gave me a dirty look. Later on, I found out she'd been talking to someone else and there was supposed to be some kind of a hidden meaning there. So next time I saw her, I said, you look like hell. No, I didn't. But I wish I had. I think maybe now I have the guts to do it. Then I didn't. Boy, do you look terrible. Here you please the person and they're annoyed. I guess if you tell them how ugly they look, they'll smile. What's with people? Another thing I note in this passage was Paul was not afraid to praise the Philippians for job well done. Now, there's two ways you can react to praise. Well, of course, with the look. Do I have a look? Well, of course, I deserve it. Or a simple thanks will do. And you don't have to get spiritually defensive.
Well, you know, I did it in the power of the Lord.
If you get the thanks from someone that you spiritually respect, they're telling you you did. So you don't have to stutter back what you think you did. Some of you are going to get thanked for your work. And be grateful for it. Some of you are going to do a great job because your mental attitude is going to be right. Listen, VBS and camp can be the greatest 2 weeks of your lives for this year. Not because of the great things that you're going to do, and not because of the great things the kids are going to do in response to the great things that you're going to do, but the great things that God is going to do in spite of us, because of the right mental attitudes on the part of a few that'll carry it for the rest. Well, that's my VBS and camp challenge from Philippians chapter 4. Now, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. That should be the theme of our lives. Notice I didn't say that should be the theme of your life. That should be the theme of our lives. Let's pray you're dismissed. Thank you, Father. Thy word is so honest. It shows us the every thoughts and oft-times intents, and opens to our understanding the reality of life, its failures and its successes, and the key to it all, how to live it through the power available to us that Thou hast provided. Dismiss us now with thanksgiving. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.